turning with me to the Gospel of John in the 19th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a little time. John chapter 19. You're to be commended for the way you worship the Lord this morning as we've come together to praise and honor and glorify His name. I am so thankful for this congregation. I want each of you to know how much I love and appreciate you. You don't know how much you encourage me in my faith for your love and dedication to the truth of God. Sometimes we don't tell one another how much we appreciate one another enough. And I'm fearful that we oftentimes leave the impression that we don't love one another when in reality there's a great love for brethren. And I sure do love this congregation. I love each and every one of you. And I'm thankful for all the encouragement you've given me, your influence in my life, and your dedication to the truth of God. And so as we make our study today, I want that to be known. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. So you can sweeten the air with the confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and upon that confession, be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we'd be praying as we stand and sing that you'd make your life right in this very moment. In the book of John, in the 19th chapter, look, if you will, beginning at verse 23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without a seam, woven from the top in one place. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. You know, we're not told how many people were at Calvary the day they crucified Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We do know the city would have been filled with visitors from all over the world who had come to celebrate the Passover feast. It could have been thousands who watched or passed by as they hung Jesus on the cross outside the city of Jerusalem to die. And I've often thought about, at that time, the people that were there. But for a few moments this morning, I want us to look at three men, or at least three soldiers, who stood at the foot of the cross of Calvary. And we want to look at these three individuals and notice what they saw as they walked away from Calvary. Make application to our life, and the lesson is yours. In your Bible, in the book of John, in the 19th chapter, notice in verses 23 and 24, the first soldier that comes to our mind. And the first man we'll consider is one of the four soldiers mentioned in these verses. And we find where this soldier, along with others, are gambling for the coat of Christ. One of these individuals will walk away from the cross carrying the coat of Jesus. And notice they're gambling for the coat of Jesus. There they are at the foot of the cross while Jesus is being crucified, while he's being nailed to the tree. And instead of looking at Jesus, they are looking at what they can gain materially. There they are at the foot of the cross. They've split the garment, but when they got to the tunic, they saw that it was woven. So not to destroy it, they said, let us cast lots. Let us see who can win and take this garment home. I've often thought about the soldiers who at that time had their eyes on the coat and not upon the cross of Christ. I've often thought about how the soldiers at that time were more interested in material things, that they had little or no thought about the Christ of the cross. Here the soldier that won the coat of Jesus gambled for it within feet of the blood that dripped from the pierced hands and feet of Jesus. Blood that could have washed away his sins had he recognized the Son of God. But this man, instead of realizing who Jesus is looking at a material thing. His eyes were focused upon what he could gain materially. And how terrible for that man to look at something material instead of looking at something spiritual. And how terrible if that man lost his soul and and was only able to remember that he was near the cross, but he did not see the Christ because his eyes were upon the coat. That man could have walked away from Calvary that day carrying the coat of Jesus, but still being condemned. Have you ever thought about that soldier that day that stood at the foot of the cross and cast lots for the coat of Jesus? That's one soldier you find walking away from Calvary. But then if you take your Bible, turn back to the book of John in the 19th chapter again. And when you come back to the book of John in the 19th chapter, look, if you will, again, dropping down to verse 33. And when you come down to verse 33, you'll find that the disciples or the soldiers are making sure that the people that were upon the cross were dead. They were looking at the two robbers and they were looking at Jesus. And notice it said in verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now then, I want you to take note that at that time, the request had been made in verse 31 that the legs be broken, that the bodies be removed, because the Sabbath was coming, and it would be a high Sabbath because of the Passover feast. But when they got to Jesus, they saw he was already dead, but notice the action of one of the soldiers. He pulls out his spear, and he thrust it into the side of Jesus. Now, they knew he was already dead, yet this soldier pierced his side. This man singled out Jesus and thrust his spear into his side. And that made me wonder, what did this man think of Jesus that would cause him to see a dead body and to mutilate him? What did Jesus do that made this man so bitter toward him that he would stick a spear into his dead body? And I've often thought about that man. Why was he bitter? I do not know. But there was something about that man that showed he had a calloused heart, that he would go up to the dead body of Jesus that was nailed to the cross and thrust a spear into his side. I do not know what this man could have had against the Son of God. Perhaps he just wanted to make sure he was dead, but the Bible said they already knew he was dead. So for some reason, he stuck the spear into his side, and to me, that shows a calloused heart. That shows a heart that was callous towards Jesus. This man, for some reason, had a heart that was hardened towards Jesus, even though Jesus showed him nothing but love. And how would you feel to hold a spear covered with blood, to look up at the body of a dead man nailed to a cross, his limp body hanging from the nails, his head laying on his chest, and there you are with blood on your spear where you pierced the body of a dead man hanging on a cross. The soldier could not rejoice he defeated the enemy. The blood on his spear was of a man who had already died. And I thought about the calloused heart of that man. That man went away from the cross. He walked away from the cross that day. And one thing I know, he missed Jesus for some reason. But if you look carefully back in the book of John, notice, my friend, there's no doubt they already knew Jesus was dead, because it says in verse 33, when they came to Jesus and saw he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. That was what they did to make sure you were dead. But this man, for some reason, felt compelled to pierce the side of Christ. But have you ever thought about what came out were the elements that man needed, both blood and water? But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter. And if you will, notice with me a third soldier. When you come to the book of Mark in the 15th chapter, you'll find that there was a third soldier that was there, and he is standing there before Jesus died. And notice, if you will, in verse 37 beginning, that Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Oh, I'll tell you, that's important. When you think of somebody who's been dehydrated, somebody who has lost so much blood, somebody who's been through shock and trauma that Jesus had been through, you don't think of somebody letting out a loud voice. You think of someone maybe murmuring or their lips moving. But Jesus didn't die as a mere man. He died as God. He was God in the flesh. And the human side is going to die. But notice, Jesus let out a loud voice. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And look at verse 39 carefully. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last. Notice what caught his attention was the yell. He said when he saw that he cried out like this. And then he saw that he breathed his last. Look at what this soldier said. Truly, this man was the Son of God. Oh, I would that I could get into your heart that man. Notice he stood opposite him while others were walking back and forth mocking the Son of God. This man stood on and at the foot of the cross and kept his eyes on Jesus. This man heard the words of Jesus. This man saw the treatment of the people to Jesus. And then he heard him cry out with a loud voice, and the soldier took notice. A man who'd suffered as much as Jesus and lost the blood that he lost, he so much couldn't whisper, but Jesus let out a loud voice. And this soldier said, "Surely this is the Son of God." But I've often wondered, what did he do when he walked away from? Did that man ever come to believe what he proclaimed? Did he ever become a child of God? Did he ever become a Christian? Did he ever become a disciple? He made a confession. But my friend, there's more than just making the confession. There's making the commitment. Now, I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lesson here. I want to know, my friend, this morning, how many people miss Jesus because their eyes are filled with material things. And I've often wondered how many people are going to lift up their eyes from the pits of hell, like the rich man in Luke 16, and say, "I knew about Jesus, but I missed him because my eyes were upon the world instead of upon Christ." There are a lot of people this morning, my friend, that they did not assemble with the saints of God. Their mind isn't upon spiritual things. All they're thinking about is what's the next thing they can do for enjoyment. Where can they make more money? Where can they go out and have more fun? The last thing on their mind is their soul. The last thing on their mind is Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's a sad thing to see people miss Jesus because their eyes are filled with material things. Secondly, it's sad to see so many people miss Jesus because of a hard heart. Oh, we live in a world filled with hard hearts. I read a statistic the other day that said that for the first time in the history of this country, there are more non-believers than are believers. That there is a free fall, that people are claiming no religious affiliation, and I'm talking about they just don't have any religious aspiration at all. And we live in a day and time where the Christian is mocked, where those who are of faith are mocked. The other day there was a lady, and they said, "What would you say to someone who believed in," they said, "their old time, and they believe that marriage is between one man and one woman for life?" And she said, "I'd be cool with that if you could find one, because with that attitude, you're probably not going to find one." I'll tell you something. Christians are going to be mocked and persecuted because people have a callous heart. But I'll tell you, there are some who know the truth of God. They know about Jesus. And the problem is they've allowed their heart to become hardened. They do not allow themselves to look at the Word of God and be touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. They can see the cross. They can see the love of God. They can see what Jesus did for them. But they're not willing to change. There are people that are going to do their own thing in their own way, and they don't care what the Bible says. I heard a man one time make a statement. He said, will he have to answer in the judgment for what he does? He said, maybe. He said, but I'm on my time now. Well, I'll tell you something like that. That's a sad, sad statement. And that's a hard one. And I'll tell you something. There are going to be a lot of people who are going to lift up their eyes condemned because they ignored the call of Jesus. Their heart was so hardened with the Word of God. And though He said, I show you my love, I've given you my blood, and I call you to become my disciple, they say, I don't want any part of you. And my friend, Jesus gives you that choice, but you have to suffer the consequences of that choice. And my friend, you either have the blood of Christ on your heart or you have it under your feet. Open your Bible to the Hebrew letter and the 10th chapter. In Hebrews chapter 10, look at what the Bible said in verse 9. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counting the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the grace of God, the Spirit of grace. I'll tell you, my friend, it's just as cruel to tread underfoot the Son of God as to thrust His side with a spear after He's dead. Third, I wonder how many know that He's the Son of God, but they've never asked Him. It's one thing to say, I believe. It's another thing to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's another thing, as Brother May brought out in his meeting, to be committed. Not too long ago, we preached about commitment. We looked at Moses and we looked at others who stayed committed. And Brother May brought out the fact that commitment is important. And I want to tell you, my friend, we need to look at ourselves. And not only do we confess Him, not only do we obey Him, but we stay committed to Him. You know what the problem today in 2019 is? The problem that they had on the day they crucified Jesus. Too many people walking away from Him. And not obeying the Word of God. If you walk away from Calvary, after all God has done to show His love and mercy, and in the day of judgment you stand condemned, you have no one to blame, my friend, because God has given you an opportunity to become His child. And through the cross, through that horrific death upon Execution Hill, where they called the place the skull, Golgotha, Jesus died so that you could be saved. Pray tell me, how can you walk away from that? If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you do so. Let's together.